I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, the latest in our series of conversations about the harsh interrogation techniques that the Bush administration authorized and which the Obama administration says must no longer be used. We'll talk with two men who conducted interrogations, and we'll find out how they feel about the use of those techniques. That's a little later in the program. But first, in our international briefing, we check on the strange new twist in the ongoing saga of Aung San Suu Kyi. The Nobel Peace Prize winner has been under house arrest in Myanmar, also known as Burma, for some 14 of the past 19 years. She's known around the world as a symbol of resistance to Myanmar's military junta in particular, and as a symbol of the fight for human rights in general. And now for that twist. A Missouri man recently swam across a lake in Myanmar to meet her, setting in motion a trial that may land them both in prison. Joining me here in our Washington studio is Aung San Suu Kyi's international lawyer, Jared Genser. He's a partner at DLA Piper here in Washington and the president of Freedom Now, an organization that works to free political prisoners around the world. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Can you walk us through this incident? Exactly what happened?
Well, my best understanding is that a man named John Yeto, who, as you mentioned, was from Missouri. He is apparently a devout Mormon, a Vietnam veteran, and had had some personal challenges in his life recently. His son was killed about a year ago in a motorcycle accident. He's been described in many ways as a well-meaning but misguided man who decided that somehow or another meeting Aung San Suu Kyi would provide him with some sense of how to achieve forgiveness and reconciliation, and he went on a one-man quest to meet her.
She did not know this man.
Of course not.
So why is she then being prosecuted when she did not know this man?
Well, of course, the charges are patently ridiculous. But the basic reason is that on May 27th of this month, the terms of her house arrest were supposed to expire, and the Burmese junta needed a pretext to continue to detain her because they're trying to plan on elections for next year, and they're going to exclude her from those elections. So this just happened to be a convenient opportunity for them to go ahead and exclude her.
Could you take us back, though, and refresh our memories about why is she under house arrest to begin with?
Well, this goes back to actually her father. Her father was General Aung San, who helped the Burmese obtain independence from the British government. Originally back in 1948, he was killed right before independence, assassinated actually, because of his advocacy. And a military junta overthrew the democratic government in 1962. And bringing it up to present day, in 1988, there was a lot of unrest, thousands of people going down in the streets after economic turmoil in the country. And the military junta was forced to hold democratic elections. And she had been living abroad with her husband, Michael Arras, in the United Kingdom, and came back to try to fulfill her father's wishes for her country. And she was, because of that history and because of the kind of person she is, was immediately popular. And the Burmese junta called these elections thinking, oddly enough, they thought they were going to win. But in fact, she and her allies won more than 80% of the seats in the parliament in Burma's 1990 elections. Several months before the election, she was put under house arrest for the first time because they got this sense that she was quite popular. She was turning out crowds of tens of thousands of people at every stop. And she went ahead to prevail in those elections. And then in 1991, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. And at the time she was under house arrest, has never been able to actually accept the Nobel Peace Prize in person. And so she's become an international icon since then.
What is the rationale for holding her? Is it simply that the state has the authority to hold anyone? Are there any specific charges that are recognized by any system of international law that justify her continued confinement?
I mean, the short answer is no. Burmese law, the state protection law, does allow for a person who is a so-called threat to national security. And we, of course, have some analogies in U.S. law, which are problematic that you alluded to earlier. But it does allow a person to be detained for up to 5 years, 1 year at a time, without charge or trial. The United Nations has said on five separate occasions over the last 19 years that that law itself is in clear violation of international law because of the lack of due process. The idea of holding a person for 5 years without charge or trial seems patently unfair and unjust, and in fact, it's a violation of international law. So that's been, in essence, the basis on which they detained her. She served 5 years in house arrest in the 1990s, was then out for a couple of years, was then back under house arrest. She's been in and out almost a revolving door in many respects.
What are her conditions?
Well, she's been, as you mentioned, under house arrest for 14 out of the last 19 years. She's had no internet access, no telephone access, no television. and basically banned from all contact with the outside world. She hasn't spoken on the phone with her two sons for 6 years since the last time she was out of house arrest, has never met her grandchildren, and lives a very isolated life with two women in her home. Is able to hear what's going on in the world through radio, Voice of America, and other international broadcasts. So she's very well informed, but other than occasional visits by international envoys and an occasional set of discussions with the Burmese junta, she's been living a very, very isolated life.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin, and I'm speaking with Jared Genzer. He represents Nobel Peace Prize winner and pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi, who's been under house arrest as a political prisoner in Myanmar for well over a decade and is now charged with allowing a man she doesn't know
exactly
to visit her uninvited.
Right. And to visit her uninvited, even more ridiculous, the Burmese junta itself had exclusive security responsibility over her home. So the fact that he was able to break into her home is, of course, their responsibility, not hers. And so she is being charged with violating the terms of her house arrest and allegedly inviting this man to her home.
How does she live? How does she – and forgive me for being – if this is a stupid question, but how does she get food? How does she
Sure.
take care of herself?
Sure.
How does she maintain her household?
So she has two women who live with her who are members of her political party and longtime friends. She has a weekly visit by a person who brings food to her. Her doctor is able to visit her on occasion, her lawyer on occasion. But other than that, she is really isolated and it's impossible really. I mean, she's not, of course, allowed to ever leave her home or to go anywhere or to receive any visitors other than those that are pre-approved by the junta. And there are basically, you know, in the last 6 years alone, there have been maybe 20 visits by various people, by UN envoys, by three meetings with her political party allowed over a six-year period, but no family, no friends, no one else.
Are you able to speak with her?
I'm not directly. I've been able to be in touch with her lawyer, of course, on the ground, who's one of the few people actually able to see her. But beyond that, no.
It's my understanding that the Myanmar government allowed journalists into one legal proceeding recently. What was that proceeding and why did they do that?
Sure. Well, she has been on trial now for the last 4 days, and the trial seems to be moving pretty rapidly. It appears they're looking to convict her and sentence her before May 27th when her technical term of house arrest expires. In terms of what the junta did, they're under a lot of pressure internationally. Just the other day, ASEAN, the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, for the first time in respect to this incident, made a public and rather strong statement condemning the regime for its treatment of her. They're clearly feeling some pressure from China, from India, and other allies in the region. And so I think that they felt forced to try to relieve some of that pressure by allowing diplomats in to see a part of the trial. But it doesn't change the fundamental fact that this is not a fair trial, that she had one of her lawyers' law license revoked, for example, when he applied to represent her at the trial. And we've also seen as well that, of course, the judiciary is not independent and impartial in Burma. They're directed by the military junta. So, I mean, any way you look at it, substantively, procedurally, it's an unfair trial.
Is the U.S. government involved at all, and is there any level of involvement that would be helpful in your view?
Sure. The United States government has been very outspoken over the years in support of the Burmese democracy movement. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton has condemned this trial as ridiculous and has been outspoken in recent days, and that's, of course, much appreciated. Ultimately, you know, if she is convicted and sentenced, which unfortunately I think is going to be the outcome because I believe it's predetermined, then we would very much hope that the U.S. and other countries would press for an emergency meeting of the U.N. Security Council. And not merely because of what has happened with Aung San Suu Kyi and this particular trial, but because of the broader threat to international peace and security that the situation in Burma poses. We haven't really talked about it yet, but the situation in Burma over the last 2 decades has been really horrendous from a human rights standpoint as well.
I think a lot of Americans are probably familiar with the junta's intransigence in part because of their refusal to allow any substantial international aid to assist after the cyclone in 2007. So given that, do you have any hope that international pressure or that the junta will be responsive to international concerns about this current trial? I guess what I'm asking you to do is speculate about what happens next.
Well, I mean, the real question is whether or not the international community can come together. There's been only a few moments in time when the international community has spoken with one voice, and the junta has relied on its allies in the region, primarily China and India, ASEAN countries as well, to support it in what it's trying to achieve. After the Saffron Revolution in 2007, where hundreds of thousands of people took to the streets and the junta gunned down a couple of dozen people, there was an international outcry, and in the UN Security Council, for the first time ever, there was a unified statement by all 15 members of the council laying out a roadmap for national reconciliation to be achieved in the country. And we hope that this this moment in time will provide an opportunity for the international community to come together again and to really push the generals to come back to the negotiating table.
How is she doing? How are her spirits? How is her physical health?
You know, her spirit is incredibly strong. For those who saw her yesterday at the trial when it was opened, they said it was actually incredible to sort of see how she commanded the courtroom, even just by merely being there, and how security guards for the courtroom itself were craning their necks around corners to see her, just to get a glimpse of her. And so she continues to be exceptionally strong emotionally, spiritually. She's a devout Buddhist, which no doubt helps a lot. And she is both resilient and defiant in the face of these ridiculous charges.
If she is convicted, what do you think will happen? Will she just remain under house arrest with the status quo, or do you think that there are even worse conditions in store for her?
Unfortunately, I think there are worse conditions in store. The law itself, and again, they don't exactly follow it all the time, but the law itself does require a term of imprisonment, not house arrest. She's currently in Burma's notorious insane prison, which is really one of the worst around. Rampant filth, disease, tuberculosis, widespread. It gets up to about 90 degrees on a typical evening in the summertime with mosquitoes, bed bugs, a really miserable place even for somebody who's really healthy.
How do we know that?
Well, I personally know a number of Burmese prisoners who have unfortunately spent time in insane prison. It's also, by the way, a place notoriously where people are tortured rampantly. I don't necessarily believe that she'll be subjected to torture given her status, but it is a place that terrifies most Burmese people.
Jared Genser is the international lawyer for pro-democracy leader and political prisoner Aung San Suu Kyi. He is the president of Freedom Now. It's an organization that works to free political prisoners around the world. He was here with me in our Washington, D.C. studio. Jared Genser, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.